I actually went into that cell where it was reported that they were advised they had to drink out of the toilet. I took a drink out of there, and it's actually pretty good. So I have a videotape, and I smacked my lips, but I didn't send it out because I thought, you know, this subject just needs to go into the rearview mirror.
The people of Iowa, throw Steve King out before he drinks all of the toilet water. Are you kidding me? This guy would be front and center if not for the guy who's front and center. But let's talk about what really matters. 1 year ago, I think it sounded something like this.
Third and 19. And this time he's going to go down. It's going to be picked off by Mack. Mack with the interception. And Mack will take it all the way in for a touchdown. How crazy was that?
Chuck Todd's worst nightmare is not to be locked in an elevator with Donald Trump. It's that Khalil Mack will pick off Aaron Rodgers at least three times tonight. Good morning, Chuck.
Did you not finish that game, or did you just stop at that highlight?
What happened?
I mean, you don't remember how that game ended, do you?
I mean, up until halftime, I thought it was really good. I went to bed.
Yeah,
what happened?
It was a wonderful game until halftime for you. Huh? I have to say, the thing that makes me happiest this morning is that there's free money available. Did you know this?
What are you talking about?
There is Vegas thought. Let's make the Bears the favorite against Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Because Aaron Rodgers always struggles against the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers never seems to be able to beat the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, let's give Aaron. So, look, for all you people listening, there's free money available in Chicago. I know you guys think the Bears are a good football team. I understand that. But you get Aaron Rodgers and 3 points.
Do you?
No one says that I haven't done anything for my friends in Chicago.
Now, you realize that there are 21 other guys that are going to be needed on the Packers team, right? I mean, there's going to be
last time I checked, Rodgers at least can beat the Bears by himself. He has proven that once. I'm nervous. I'll be all honest. I have no idea what to expect from these Packers.
Is this new coach any good?
I'm happy there's a new coach because the old coach isn't there. I don't know how I feel about this coach. I'll be honest. This felt like a rush. I am very nervous about it all. But if it clicks, he's Aaron Rodgers. And if it doesn't, you know.
It's going to be a long year in Green Bay. By the way, explain to people how you became a Packer fan.
Well, it's pretty simple. My dad was a Packer fan. He grew up in Iowa, Northeast Iowa. And he was raised to basically hate all things Chicago. He said, you know, Iowans think Chicago's not the Midwest. It's just a bunch of, like, wannabe New Yorkers.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of how the fine folks of Waterloo, Iowa felt about some people in the sports teams in Chicago. So, yes, he was a Packer fan as a kid. So he made me a Packer fan.
But you grew up in...
First chapter book I ever read was Jerry Kramer, Instant Replay.
Sure, there you go. But you grew up in quite a disturbing situation. You had family from Bloomington. You had family from Iowa.
Yes.
Good God, you must have been in therapy by the time you were five.
By the way, and all my Illinois family, they're Southsiders. They're old school, man. They're all White Sox.
They're all White Sox fans.
Well, they don't root for that wussy team, the Cubs.
And by the way, the Cubs are not even a remote threat to the Nationals at this point. But, you know, you just got to get in.
They are. They picked up a game on them last night.
Well, what are they, 3.5
I was just going to say, look, as long as the Nats don't have a bullpen, anybody has a chance in a Nats game, as long as their bullpen has to pitch.
So, Dave, doesn't a wild card work this way? The Nats would host if it ended today?
If it ended today, yes. Thankfully for the Cubs, it doesn't.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so since we don't know what's going to happen tonight after the Bears beat the Packers, I guess we have to talk about Sharpie Gate. I don't want to make a huge deal out of this because it's a huge deal and everybody else should be making a huge deal out of this. The concern is that the most powerful man in the world decided something we had moved on from was so important. He had to take a Sharpie and draw an extra little circle to include Alabama to prove he was right about something he was wrong about before that we don't care about. If he lies about this, he'll lie about anything.
Right.
And more importantly, is this going to hurt Sharpie stock this morning?
You know, if you had to create a time capsule for the Trump presidency, you'd put this moment in there. You know, let's say you only could put 5 moments to explain the Trump presidency, so you just understood how just bizarre and wacky it was. This would be one of the incidents. Because I'm with you. On one hand, I'm like, this is the most ridiculous aspect of the story. We're, you know, there's a serious storm out here. It's got serious implications, and this guy can't. It's just is obsessed with trying to make this Alabama thing a fact. And yet, I do think it's emblematic of the Trump presidency. Right? This is who he is. He's always been this way. He's stubborn. He'll never, you know, you never apologize and you never admit fault. Right? Those are his two of his rules. And this is an example to the extreme. And again, on one hand, it's ridiculous and silly. And you could sit here and say a coverage is ridiculous and silly, except the president of the United States is literally drawing stick figures to prove a point. That's also ridiculous and silly, right? It again, that's why I put it in the time capsule. This is one of those moments. It explains as best as you can the ridiculousness sometimes of the Trump presidency.
Now, there are Republican senators and House members who will talk off the record, you know, ad nauseum to you and your NBC colleagues and everybody else.
Yeah.
Doesn't this take it to a new level of they're frightened, or are they just going to continue to hide?
No, they'll continue to do what they've been doing very, very quietly, which is they don't say a word. And the ones that just can't take it anymore say, you know what, I'm not running for reelection. And there is a steady, I call it a steady trickle. It's not yet a stream, but it's a steady trickle. It's literally, we're on our, yesterday we reported a guy from Texas. This morning, the Republican retirement of the day is a guy named Jim Sensenbrenner. Mm-hmm. Probably a familiar name to you guys.
Yep.
He's been representing the Milwaukee area for a couple decades. Not a seat that's going to go. He wasn't in trouble. He just didn't want to be here. You know, what's remarkable about these Republican retirements is how many of them are not come from not swing districts, but safe seats. And the swing districts are already Democrat. That's part of the problem. But the ones retiring are the ones coming who didn't. This is not because they can't get reelected. It's because they don't want to be here. They don't want to serve with him. They don't want to serve in this town. They may not want to serve in the House minority, which also isn't fun. But that's how these Republicans are denouncing Trump. They're walking away. It's the Mattis approach. I'm not sure it's effective, but that's what they do.
The other thing that fascinates me is the family factor of this, and this may be driving the resignations as well, because you have to look at your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your mm-hmm. kids, and your grandkids, and tell them, if they're of age to understand any of this, why you're behaving the way you're behaving and why you're not speaking up. That has to be an issue.
You know, I've heard this from elected officials who say, yeah, I get you think you guys give me grief. You don't know the grief I get at home, or you don't know the grief I get from my kids. In these cases, they're usually grown kids, you know, in their 20s, mm-hmm. mid to late 20s. So, yes, I think there is something to that. And I think that the retirements in many ways, they drive that issue, the family dynamic, sort of the family guilting of the person. The fact that they can't sit here and defend what they're doing. And here's another problem. You know, there are some perks that come with the job when your party's in the White House, unless you're embarrassed about the guy. You know, so even the upside of being a member of Congress, congressional picnics at the White House, bringing your family, well, none of that matters to anybody. I mean, trust me, I have not a single family member. Well, that's not true. I have some couple family members. But the family members that for years used to bug me about the White House Christmas party, I haven't had an inquiry
right.
in three
right.
years.
Right. So I guess you owe him a thank
and,
you.
And, exactly. Yes, I do. Thank you, Mr. President.
Pat Brady, say hi to Chuck Todd.
Hey, Chuck Todd. Hey, I'm with you on the Packers. Don't tell anybody in Chicago, though.
What? Ooh, very nice. Well spoken, sure Mike. Well spoken. True Midwesterner.
Well, I grew up downstate in near Bloomington. And yeah. My parents knew Zeke Bratkowski, the backup quarterback in the glory days.
Backup.
Yeah.
The legendary Zeke Bratkowski.
He still holds, I believe, the IHSA record for the longest punt. It was 98 yards.
Wow.
But I talked to his sister.
Pretty good. It's pretty hard to, pretty much to break that record is... It's sort of a perfect sandwich.
Next to impossible.
Hey, and I share the sentiment on that there's no fun out there. The people I talk to aren't having fun in Washington.
Yeah.
But when are the Democrats going to step up and figure out that maybe Medicare for All might not be the winning message in a general election?
Well, you know, it's funny. They're having this massive... What we're seeing play out, I think, Pat, is this debate, right, in the party, which is trying to figure out what did the 2016 election mean, right? There's a chunk of Democrats who believe 2016 was an anomaly. It was literally, it was a rejection of Hillary Clinton. It was
partially stolen, Comey messed it up, right? You believe it was an accident and all those other things. Then there's a group on the left, and I think this is what powers Elizabeth Warren, who says, you know why 2016 happened? Because the Democrats didn't stand for anything. All they did was stand for you know, for not, you know, they weren't, they told you what they weren't, but they didn't tell you what they were for. And that you can't just do that. And by the way, most of the time, that theory of the case is true. But it's very possible, and this is one where I think we all get trapped by history sometimes. We look at Joe Biden and we look at the history of modern presidential politics and we say, we all know how that candidacy ends. And so a lot of my colleagues are writing these reports almost sort of previewing the coming fall of Joe Biden, right? It'll be this, right. It'll be this, it'll right. be this, it'll right. be this. But we've also never had Donald Trump. And so, yes, normally saying you just want to return to the status quo, you just want to create some stability, is a terrible message, right? You always want to be the candidate of the future, not the candidate of the past. But what if this is the one time you actually do want to be the candidate of the past? And I think that goes to your Medicare for All question, which is just simply, do you believe, right? And essentially, expanding Obamacare to the left is status quo, which ironically is extraordinarily popular in swing voters. Do you know what the Democratic nominee and one of the Republican candidates for governor of Mississippi is running on? Expanding Medicaid, which is expanding Obamacare. And it's considered a good politics. Like literally, like, you know, it's a wedge issue in more and more in rural America, as we know, because these rural hospitals desperately need the expanded Medicaid sure. fund. So there, the irony is, the status quo is actually kind of popular, at least on the issue of health care.
Yeah, Republicans are going to be running on Obamacare.
They're going to have to. Well, if Democrats go to Medicare for All, that's the irony of this whole thing. Pat, I completely believe it, that the Republicans will be the candidate, will literally become the party of protecting Obamacare.
Before you go, the president has decided to divert a whole bunch of money to patch up the fence. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this is coming from Republican congressional districts. Is that going to change the outcome of this at all?
You know, I think it won't change the outcome, but I think it becomes an effective political hit. Let me tell you about my home state of Florida. One of the big projects diverted, the Air Force Base that got devastated by the hurricane last year.
There you go.
Over there, okay? And now, and the president came to that part of the panhandle and said, we're going to rebuild it. It's going to be better than ever. And now they're delaying it. You delay these projects in a place that has already been hit hard by something. Then developers think, well, the government's not rebuilding. Maybe I'm going to hold. I'm not going to rebuild until I know they're rebuilding. You delay that stuff, it can absolutely. So while I don't think Democrats have the legal power to stop this, I think this politically bites the president because it's going to hit. I mean, I just previewed a potential 30-second ad for you against the president on this tape, you know, taking money away from the state of Florida, because that's what the ad will say. It won't tell you where it's going for. They might not even say the word immigration. They'll just run an ad saying the president ripped the money away from Florida for his political pet projects.
Well, I think we both know the one way Trump can fix this is with a Sharpie. All right. Chuck Todd, MTP Daily, the Chuck Todd cast, and Meet the Press Sunday morning. You know, if it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press. And thank you, Chuck. We'll take you out with this little highlight from 2010.
Better kick with good hang time and great distance. 56 yards. Took Hester back to the 39. Picked up a block, and here comes Hester. He might go! Devin Hester!
Again, that was 2010. But
you know. You know what I love? You know what I love? Devin Hester's a University of Miami guy, so I'll take it. All if right. I have to hear a Bears highlight, make it a Devin Hester highlight.
All right, buddy. Be well. See you later.
Bye, guys.
Good luck tonight. And I don't mean about the game.
Stop, Bears.